Here's the thing about bad cholesterol. It can silently build up in your arteries over time. High bad cholesterol may increase your risk of heart attack or stroke. Is your bad cholesterol low enough? Talk to your doctor about setting a goal to help lower your bad cholesterol and reduce your risk of heart attack or stroke. There's more to know about bad cholesterol. Learn more about the risks at badcholesterol.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to TerryWilson3.com.
TerryWilson3.com.
Inspiring, informative, and entertaining content for the entrepreneur and small business owner.
Hey, welcome to episode 686. Today I want to talk about something that I believe a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, coaches and consultants, and even marketers sometimes misunderstand. When a business is struggling, we tend to blame the visible things first. We say it needs better marketing, maybe. It needs a new website. It needs more content. It needs more technology. It needs a new CRM. It needs better employees. It needs better management. It needs more leads. It needs a new funnel. It needs to use AI now. It needs to post more often. It needs more ads, more advertising. And I know this is going to sound counterintuitive because everything I just listed here are things I sell. But those things won't help if there's one thing that's wrong. And sometimes one of those things is the problem, and we should get one of those tools or pieces of technology. But sometimes the marketing is not the biggest challenge. The technology is not the biggest challenge. The staff is not your biggest challenge. The biggest challenge is the business model itself. And if the business model is working against the promises you're making, better marketing does not solve the problem. Better marketing may actually expose the problem faster. And that is the idea I want to share with you today. You cannot market your way out of a contradiction. You cannot manage your way out of a model that does not make sense. You cannot automate your way out of bad economics. You cannot hire enough people to overcome a value proposition the buyer does not believe. And you cannot use technology to create trust when the way you're using that technology is the very thing making people question your trustworthiness. Sometimes the tool is fine. The message is fine. The people may even be fine that you have employed. But the way all of those things have been assembled into a business is fundamentally out of alignment. And that is what a business model really is. It is not just what you sell. It's the whole logic of the business that you use. Who do you serve? What problems do you solve? Why should that person trust you to solve it? How do you deliver the results? How do you get paid? What does it cost you to produce the results? And do all of those parts reinforce one another, or do they contradict one another? If you're working harder and harder to create less and less movement, it may not be because you need to work harder. It might simply be because the machine you are feeding is pointed in the wrong direction. The coaching business that contradicts its own promises. Let me start with a real world situation. I'm going to keep the details general because the point is not to embarrass anyone. The point is to learn from the structure of the problem. I have worked with a client in the coaching space for 2 decades. The main things this coaching business wants to help is its clients developing a brand. Branding that has authority, authenticity, and a differentiation compared to anyone else. That is what my client, that's what his coaching business, that's what their coaching space, that's what they do. And those are valid goals. In fact, their appeal to the market is also valid. They are essentially saying clients buy from people who are authentic, who have authority in their field, and who present a distinct advantage compared to anyone else. And let me tell you, I 100%, 110% agree with that. As a matter of fact, I would even say they might have heard some of that from yours truly. Most people do not want to hire the invisible expert. They do not want to hire someone whose message feels manufactured. They don't want to hire a provider who looks exactly like 20 other providers. Buyers need a reason to believe you. They need a reason to remember you. They need a reason to choose you. So the claims are not the problem here at all. The problem is that the business model undermines these claims. See, this company is leaning on another company's brand to borrow authority. It is using AI-generated video versions of themselves involved to produce online content, even though authenticity is one of the central things being sold. And parts of the service look heavily copied from what other coaching firms are already doing, even though differentiation is part of their promise. Do you see the problem? The issue is not whether branding matters. It does. The issue is not whether authority matters, because it does. The issue is not whether AI videos can be useful. They can. The issue is not even whether a business can learn from other coaching programs. Every good business studies the market. The issue is the contradiction between the promise and the proof. If I am selling authenticity, but I am represented by a synthetic version of myself, I have introduced friction into the very idea I'm asking customers to buy into. If I'm selling authority, but most of my authority is borrowed from another brand, I have not demonstrated that I know how to build independent authority. If I'm selling differentiation, but my delivery is copied from other firms, I have failed the demonstration before the customer ever got a contract. The offer is making one argument with its words and a different argument with its behavior. And people are much better at detecting that conflict than many people realize. They may not describe it in business school language. They may not say, hey, I have identified a lack of strategic fit between your value proposition and your activity systems. They simply say, something feels off, or I don't buy it. See, that feeling matters. A 2026 study involving three experiments and more than 1,600 participants found something very interesting about brand authenticity. The researchers concluded that authenticity may not always earn a special reward above a neutral baseline, but inauthenticity does create a penalty. In other words, buyers may treat authenticity as the minimum standard. You may not get a trophy for being real, but you can absolutely lose trust when you appear fake. That is a powerful distinction. Some businesses just treat authenticity like a marketing decoration. They put a picture of the founder on the page, tell a vulnerable story, use the word real in the headline, film something that appears unscripted, but authenticity is not visual style. It is consistency between who can claim to be what you actually do and how you deliver value. This is why AI is not the villain in these examples. I use technology. I believe in technology. I sell technology. AI can save time, improve production, organize information, create drafts, expand capacity, help a small business compete at a level that once heretofore required a huge staff. But a tool has to serve the promise. If your promise is speed, using AI can strengthen your proof. If your promise is affordable access, using AI may strengthen your economics. As for me, I'm giving away lots of websites to churches now. Before, I couldn't do that. Now I can. If your promise is round-the-clock information, using AI may strengthen your service. But if your promise is personal preference, human connection, and authentic access to you, replacing yourself with a synthetic version of yourself is going to weaken your offer. The question is not, is AI good or bad? The question is, does this use of AI reinforce or contradict the results I'm selling? Recent research on virtual influencers makes this more than philosophical. A 2025 systematic review looked across 51 studies and identified perceived authenticity and transparency as central issues affecting trust and engagement with virtual influencers. Other studies have found that human influencers tend to receive higher ratings for authenticity and trust than AI-generated influencers. That does not mean nobody should use an avatar. It means that if authenticity is your product, you cannot casually separate the real person from the customer's experience and assume the promise remains untouched. There is another problem here too. When the coaching materials are copied, the business is not simply using an imperfect tactic, it is surrendering its claim to a distinct advantage. You can sell a commodity. There's nothing automatically wrong with that. But if you sell a commodity, your business model needs to acknowledge it. You may compete on price, convenience, availability, speed, simplicity, and distribution or services. But what you cannot do for long, that is deliver a commodity while charging for the originality and talking up the differentiation. Eventually, the buyer sees the gap. And when that happens, the natural response inside the company is often, oh, we need to do some better marketing. No, you need better alignment. You not need a louder promise. You need a stronger proof. The marketing company that's pitching to a marketer. Now, here's another real world example that's coming straight from yours truly. I receive cold messages on LinkedIn from companies and individuals pitching their marketing services all the time. Now, cold outreach is not automatically wrong to me. I mean, I'm a marketer, right? There are people who use it very well. There are businesses that have been built with it. And there are situations where a relevant, well-timed message can start a very valuable relationship or conversation. But these messages are often sent with little or no thought about the target. They're pitching generic marketing services to an online marketer. Do you see the issue here? Before you ever evaluate the quality of their service, their own marketing has created evidence against the claim they are making. They are saying, we know how to identify prospects, position an offer, and communicate value and generate customers for you. But they just demonstrated to me that that claim is failing because they failed to identify me, failing to position their offer to me. They're sending a message that could have gone to just about anyone except someone with my background. The message may have been perfect grammar. The automation may have functioned flawlessly. The software may have delivered it exactly at 9:03 in the morning like it was programmed to do. The salesperson may have followed every step in the company's process. And none of that matters. Perfect execution for wrong decisions is still wrong results. So, what do? I respond to these messages in essentially the same way. No matter what call to action they include, I say something like, hey, we would love to have you help with our marketing. And that is why I'm willing to pay you more than the fixed amount you may be even asking me to pay to get you involved. We do that through our built-in affiliate program where we onboard capable, competent, and consistent performers like you. We give you additional assets and resources on top of what you may already have, along with a compensation plan that is not capped at a fixed rate that you're probably charging, but grows dynamically based on your performance. Here's the link to start and sign up today. We would love having you as a marketer on our team. That response gets to the bottom of how confident they really are in their marketing. They approached me because they supposedly know how to produce customers. I offer them the resource, the opportunity, and performance-based compensation to do exactly that. Now, suddenly, many of them are not quite as confident. Why? Because the original business model may not be built around creating results. It may be built around selling the promise of results while transferring the risk to the client. So what I'd like for to do right now is play just an excerpt of a private mastermind call that we had a few nights ago, where you're hearing business owners talk about how they're leveraging AI in a good way, not to try to conflict with what their original value proposition is. There's good ways and bad ways, of course, of using everything. This is my real voice. I want you to hear my attitude toward things. Now, that doesn't mean I don't let AI record what I'm saying and then make out all the notes for me and print out the show notes. That's an effective way of using AI, and it doesn't undermine my authenticity. This is my voice. These are my ideas. I will use AI to help generate an outline. I will use AI to help with image creation for thumbnails and things like that. Nothing wrong with that. But you cannot let robotics and AI all of a sudden try to replace the humanity that we all have, because at the end of the day, people buy from people. The robots, the technology is just a means to deliver my human thought, idea, voice, and soul. So what you're about to hear is a recording of about 15 people in a room talking about their business and how we're leveraging these tools to bring greater value to the niche markets that we work within. And just so you know, in the last several weeks, I have been able to create immense value for clients that at one time I could not afford to do for free. I'm able to give things away, literally give high value work away to clients that could not do it on their own, could not produce some of the things that they need for their church, their school, their business. I'm able to do it for them for free simply because it doesn't take me a couple minutes to do for them. And now I have a client to resell other services to be able to book speaking engagements with, to be able to maybe sell my books, sell my coaching, sell my training. But some of the things that they need, like I was able to sell. This one church was about to spend $2,500 on a website. I was able to give them a website that was about four times bigger, larger, and had way more capacity than what they were going to buy. I was able to give it to them. Give. And all they paid is just the monthly hosting that it's going to pay anyway, which is like $25 a month. But that started a relationship that now, for future needs that they're going to have, text to give, online giving, you know, their student check-in needs, their SEO needs maybe later on, the tap to give, all of the various tools and services that we provide churches and schools and businesses. Well, who do you think they're going to go to? At least I'm going to have an opportunity. I'm going to be in the conversation. Now, maybe I don't win the, but I will be there. I will be one of the ones that have a good chance of being able to bid on and continue to earn their business in the future. How did it start? I was able to give them something. I was able to prove my value. I was able to show results before I ever asked them to spend any money. That is using AI in the proper way. And I think it's going to be, quite frankly, I think all of this use of AI is sort of similar to what we went through in the 80s in the digital recording and the musical recording world, where we went from this raw sounding, you know, grit and grind, just try to get as much audio to tape as possible, saturate the tape because it's all analog, sounds great for you audiophiles, I know. But then we went into this digital world where everything was clean and pristine. And I mean, the compact disc came out and we were recording digitally with the ADATs and the DATs and all of that. And I know I'm sort of geeking out on something, but there was an audible difference. Go back and listen to everything that David Foster ever produced in the 80s. There was a distinct, clean digital sound in the DX7 Yamaha and the Roland D50 and all of these synth sounds and stuff that was in the Linn drums and everything that came in to create this just very different sonically different sounding thing, to the extent some would argue it was overdone. We had all of this digital reverb, all this digital effects, all of these digital tools. We could copy and paste infinitely. We could stack vocals. I mean, you know, you could not have recorded, you know, Poison and Def Leppard and all those guys the way you did, Mutt Lange did, outside of having those digital tools. Was it overdone for today's ears? You go back and listen to somebody. Yeah, we probably got a little excessive on the reverbs and the digital recording and the layering and the overdubbing and all that. But that was just us learning the tools, us learning the new technology. That's where we're at with AI, especially in the business world. People are definitely overdoing it. But you're learning. You're learning. You're learning where it's appropriate to use as just a knocking out a, you know, a what we call grunt work. Just to knock this out because it just needs something done real quick. It has nothing to do with, you know, a human voice, human sound, and nothing to do with you being you and being represented by something other than you. Doesn't undermine your authenticity. And listen, some of the commercials I play on my podcast, well, of course, it's AI generated. Not going to lie. But I'm not saying it's not. I'm not pretending otherwise. I can take all of my thoughts, my ideas, my what I want to say. This is my point. This is the examples I want to use. I can feed it in and it will print out something for me to sort of read my ideas back in a more articulate and a more concise way. That's all great. And that's it. To me, that is using AI properly. It's just, it's a publishing tool for me in the background to help organize my thoughts, my flows. It's going to take this recording, this MP3 file that's being made right now, me talking, and then it's going to generate the show notes. I don't have to type everything out. That's using AI smartly. I can have it posted to my blog, my website, all these different channels. I can backlink different things. That's using AI. What would take me days to do heretofore takes me moments to do now. To me, that's using it properly. So, if you want to hear how other people are using it, check this out.
Well, and the backstory on that was I was going round and round with it, trying to clean up my workflows, and then I would test it, and then I would encounter the problem. And finally, I just said, we need to quit going around in circles. Let's fix it. And then when we got done, I said, okay, now give me a conclusive, you know, breakdown of what was going on. And I'm going to just forward that to Terry and let, because I didn't know if it was my problem or somebody else's, but if you don't know it exists, then.
Is it working correctly for you now?
Yeah. What was happening is I would go in and log in like a new user, set an appointment. And so I would get the appointment time. Then when I would go through to give it my information, when it would pull up the phone number, it would pull up the country page, what country it's from. And on my iPhone, I could not get up to see the United States. So it, in essence, kept me from finishing the process of giving the app my contact information. That was the reoccurring problem.
Gotcha. But it sounds like not only did it diagnose the problem, but it sounds like it did it go in and fix it for you as well?
Yeah. It went and fixed it. What it did by default was it just removed any other country and just, I will say this, everything I've done in the last 3 days might have taken me 3 months. And I don't know that I would have gotten much closer.
Isn't that amazing? Well, let me ask you this. Just from the times you've been here working, would you say you've been as productive in the last few days as to?
I have accomplished more in the last couple of days. I'm debugging my system so that I can do this work. I finally got the system. If you noticed, I transferred my domain to TW3.
Yeah, I saw that.
I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get my email to work. And I know you and I worked on that at one point. but it fixed all of that. And sometimes it took a couple of tries, but now I have a good ULR email address. I can put it on my iPhone. I've got it on my Windows desktop. And that was all done because of the AI. And I didn't drive myself crazy.
Dude, I don't know if I said this last week, but that DMARC thing that you're supposed to have set with your email, and that's going to dictate how many of the, like, Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, how many of those platforms will actually open your email. I never could get my DMARC registration working right. Never. So my open rates had just been horrid in the last year just because I could not get the stupid thing working. AI went in and fixed that thing 2 weeks ago, and I'm telling you what, my open rate has shot up. I mean, I'm getting more business now just because I've got thousands of people on my email list, and the majority of them wasn't getting it. Here's the other thing that's amazing. You used to have the vocabulary, the vernacular, the lexicon to be able to articulate exactly what you wanted. Otherwise, the machine didn't know what you're talking about. Man, it just seems like I can point and grunt now. And it's, did you mean this? No, I meant, and then it just sort of asks me questions to get out of me what it needs to know. And then boom, it's gone.
And the nice thing about it was when I was dealing with this today, where I sent you that fix, I basically said to it, I said, okay, we're going around in circles here. We've had this problem. We've made three different fixes, but we keep circling back to this problem. Let's fix this problem and stop the madness. And it's like, okay.
I don't know if you're, because I even got a little bit in my feelings one time. I said, are you going to fix this problem or just keep burning tokens? I said, I need you to fix. And then it says, you're right. I'm sorry. It shouldn't have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it says, I will not respond back until I have fully fixed this and tested it. Any other questions, comments, snide remarks? It's good to have everyone on tonight. Hope you're getting a lot out of this conversation and what we've shown thus far.
Well, I have one more comment.
Please.
After Michael did his presentation last week, which was awesome.
He did a great job.
And I didn't know about that 5.6 SOL. I use that to, I'm rebuilding Peyton's website for Guitar School of Texas. And
awesome.
It's funny because the first page, I had to like correct it a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And then page two, page three, it like listened, like it did it right. It was
learns.
Weird.
It learns.
Yeah, I did learn. But I actually had it redo the terms and conditions, privacy policy, cookie policy. And then I thought, wait a minute, what about ADA policy? So it did all that. But here's the funny thing, and you'll think this is funny. When I told it what I had currently, it said, oh, we need to redo this. There are so many grammatical errors in here. This is so it
the queen has been dethroned.
Can you believe that? Can you believe it?
Her crown has been tarnished.
Hey, Terry, when you bring somebody in new, let's say they don't know anything about funnels or anything like that, would you still suggest to them that they go through and watch those videos,
yes,
even if they're going to use the AI? That's my thinking, but
yes, I do. Okay. And I tell them, I said, listen, I want you to watch these videos for the purposes of understanding how this technology works and developing a vocabulary for you and a basic understanding so you'll know how to talk to the AI system as to what you want. I said, you know, because the ability to execute has just exponentially been put to instant mode. But the ability to grasp, to understand, and to comprehend, there's nothing, AI doesn't fix that. You still got to learn. You still got to read. You still got to watch a video. get that information inside you so that you then can know what you want to do. So what you just heard was the TW3 Elite Mastermind, which is made up of entrepreneurs, business owners, and people that are dedicated, motivated, and getting situated to go to the next level. Everybody in that room is at different levels. They're coming from different experiences, but they have this one common goal, and that is this. I know I'm made by, from, and for the purposes of greatness, and so I want to get in a room of other people that are motivated to sharpen their skills and help get more and more clarity on their calling so they can go do what they were created to do in the marketplace, in the schoolhouse, in the church house, and wherever they find themselves. I love our mastermind group, and I would tell you, show me your friends. I'll show you your future, as my grandfather and parents used to say, and it's still true today in 2026. If you want to go to the next level, you have to grow to the next level. And the way growth happens is the way the good book says, and that is iron sharpens iron. Getting in a room of other people that are motivated like you. And someone saw one, you know, it was a few years ago, but I spent about $30,000 one year on coaching. And they said, how in the world could you do that? Well, after that coaching, my business model was able to change. I was able to fortify my business to survive what then became COVID. We didn't know we were on the heels of COVID. I was able to have some mental clarity and understanding about myself to the point where I was motivated to go out and lose over 100 pounds. So my health got better. My business got better. All because I got in a mastermind group and I got around some people and I got some coaching. Did it cost me money? Yeah, but I can tell you the $30,000 investment probably came back. I know in that last year tenfold. And I am still in 2026, I'm still getting a yield off of that investment. So I can't tell you and can't make a greater appeal that if you don't have a local group or an online group or a group of people that you can get in a room with that is dedicated not only to their own growth, but your growth as well. Because they find their growth in helping you with your growth. If you're not in a room like that to where the incentive structure is designed, the business model, which is what we've been talking about, is designed in a way for you to achieve, get in another room. Get in those rooms. And you can go to terrywilson3.com/mastermind. Learn more about our mastermind group. It's terrywilson3.com/mastermind. Been doing it for nearly almost going on 18, 19 years. Started in 2008, so we're about 2 years away, 2 years shy of 20 years of doing TW3. But I would encourage you, if you don't have that, this is beyond just a local, you know, small business association or this is getting in a group with some dedicated people around one cause, one commission, and that is growing in their business, in their personal and professional life. Having the tools, having the technology, having the systems, the strategies, sharing with one another, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing, what's working for you. Hearing conversations like you just heard there, that's what it's about.
So we hope you've got a lot out of the content today. Please take a few minutes to give us a 5-star positive review at terrywilson3.com/review. This helps us promote our content and continue to reach more and more people. Again, thanks for being part of the TW3 community here at terrywilson3.com. Please like and share our content, and we will see you soon.
Welcome, fellow leaders, entrepreneurs, and visionaries. Today, I invite you to step into a world where greatness is not just a goal, but a collective reality. Introducing the Elite Mastermind Group by TW3, a sanctuary for those seeking not just success, but exponential growth. It's more than a group. It's a synergy of minds, a convergence of aspirations, and a breeding ground for extraordinary accomplishments. You'll learn not only from experts, but from the stories of those beside you, fellow trailblazers who weathered storms and conquered obstacles, enriching your own journey. Imagine being surrounded by a league of highly motivated business owners and entrepreneurs, each driven by the same passion for success, propelling each other towards greatness. Embrace the power of networking, the art of learning, and the joy of sharing your value. It's not just about what you gain, but what you contribute. Dare to be exceptional. Dare to be part of the elite. Don't just dream of success. Surround yourself with those who are already living it. Join the Elite Mastermind Group by TW3. Elevate your success. Elevate your life.
Unlock the power within you. Discover the untapped potential waiting to be unleashed. You Are Worth More isn't just a book. It's a transformative guide to understanding your unique value in today's ever-evolving marketplace. Visit youareworthmorebook.com and claim your free copy. Within these pages, you'll unravel the secrets to identify your distinct strengths, refine your skills, and ignite the passion to pursue your true worth. Life isn't just about survival, it's about thriving. This book is your roadmap to not only surviving, but excelling in a world that demands your best. It's about recognizing your potential, developing your talents, and finding the inspiration to chase after what truly matters to you. Let You Are Worth More be your companion on this journey. It's not just a book, it's a catalyst for change. Empower yourself, elevate your skills, and embrace the opportunities that await. Visit youareworthmorebook.com today and embark on the path to realizing your full potential. Your worth is far more than you might imagine. Claim your free copy now and begin your transformation.